You're listening to Circle of Hope Sunday Meeting Podcast. This talk was given at 3800 Marlton Pike. For more information, check out circleofhope.net or join us in person on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. or 7 o'clock p.m.
I want to start out this week with something a little bit different. Do you know that the pastors have a video cast, like a YouTube channel, called Someone Asked? It gets like 34 views every video. So this is part like, hey, this is kind of a cool thing that the pastors do. We have five congregations. Julie Hoke is one of our pastors too, but we've released her to just focus just on her thing because it's just getting started in Germantown. So the four fully networked pastors, Johnny Rashid, Joshua Grace, Rachel Sensenig, and I, every 2 weeks we do this video cast, and it's about an actual question that someone asked us. And it's a little ironic that during our season of Jesus canceled the show, for me to be like, hey, look at this show that we make. But I really want you to, it's just what we talked about this past week was too perfect for the theme that I have for my talk, which is thinking about how compassion can help us get into and also help us understand how Jesus cancels the show. So I really wanted to get up there. Also, Johnny, Joshua, and Rachel are very attractive, and I just want you to see their faces. We were talking exactly about what I wanted to say tonight. And so we share this dialogue at the center of our leadership, and so I wanted it to ripple out. It's about 5 minutes long, so we'll watch it together, and then I'm going to kind of keep going from there. David, were you able to pull it up? So that's how it looks. It usually, Luke Bartolomeo has very great design skills, and he makes a cool thing like that every time. I share it on Facebook. Sometimes I tweet it, but I'm not a very good tweeter. Oh, there's Johnny talking, but we can't hear him. He's just doing an intro. It's fine.
Hey friends, this is Circle of Hope Pastors. We do this video cast to try to answer questions that people ask. Because today the question is, should we keep sending our thoughts and prayers after tragedy strikes?
So one of the questions I think that's implicitly being asked is, after tragedies like hurricanes in Puerto Rico, Houston, mass shootings in Las Vegas, when politicians respond officially with sending thoughts and prayers, and it's not backed up with work oriented towards solidarity, justice, or whatever, actually alleviating the situations or the environment that keeps perpetuating things like mass shootings or, you know, lack of acceptance of climate science, etc. Particularly, I've heard a lot of my non-religious friends this week speaking out of those thoughts and prayers are useless to us. So kind of the question is, should we stop thinking and praying then?
I am deeply sympathetic to that criticism because, you know, when you hear things like this is the price of freedom, there's nothing we can do about this, it's inevitable, whatever, the thoughts and prayers are empty. And politicians should be praying, and they should be praying for forgiveness from God for their inaction and how they seem not to care about people dying in the street with military-grade weapons that are illegal to purchase. I don't know the policy solution. I'm not a politician. But the inaction that follows the prayer cheapens even the idea of prayer and weakens the witness of Jesus through his church. So when they use that kind of language, they hurt the whole movement. And I'm affected by that because I'm a praying person. Using your prayer to justify your excuse.
Yeah, me too. And I feel bad because I see like a meme of like a big dump truck with thoughts and prayers written on it, and they're just like dumping out the thoughts and prayers because they're just trash. And I'm like, dude, prayer is so not trash. I mean, prayer creates who I am so that like I can continue to be soft to these things, so that when people die in Las Vegas or don't have power for months in Puerto Rico, I still care about it. I think one big temptation of all of this news that we have is access to every bad thing that happens in detail, is that we get worn out, our hearts get hard. How are we supposed to care about this forever? One way to do it is to pray, to actually keep caring, to have the capacity with God to be moved by all the tragedy in the world, because I think the temptation towards nihilism, apathy, just, you know, making a meme that's funny out of it, is like the end of people's action. Like, that could be all we do.
Yeah, then I think that people despair of being able to change anything. But if we are actually praying, it will change us and probably inspire us to take action. And I think we're experiencing that in Circle of Hope every day through the work of our compassion teams and the money that we're able to share through our thrift stores, most recently to Yemen in particular, but even all around the United States. It's just evidence to me that prayer actually changes us and changes the world. So, no, I don't think we should stop doing that, even if politicians are using it in some trite and effective ways.
Yeah, because they make it like it might be either or. Like, you pray or you act. And it really is both. We do it together, right?
Yeah, I think some of the examples that even how we put them together is through having a common purpose, a common identity in Jesus, puts us into a commonality and a mutuality throughout time and throughout the world. So when we're regularly redistributing resources or doing solidarity prayers, because this is like our MCC, the Youth Development and Peace Organization that we're partnered really close with, is doing these works. That's really good. Or when we organize, you know, we've been part of two different movements through Circle of Peacemakers that shut down notorious gun shops like Colosimo's and the Shooter Shop that were both notoriously putting illegal guns on the streets that were being used for violent crimes.
Yeah, we're actually a part of something. We're doing it together.
Big time. You can see that we're passionate about this issue because we are prayers and we are actors. You know, we pray with our breath, we keep following Jesus all the time. So when tragedy strikes, we want to act, we want to pray, we want to be together. There's a lot of things that we do. I hope that this encourages you to walk with Jesus and walk with us as we try to do our part in changing and redeeming the world, even in our incremental, small way at times. Thanks for paying attention. If you like this, share it around. If you have more questions, we'd love to answer them. Until next time.
Have you heard this criticism of thoughts and prayers, if only on social media? You know, that Joshua's non-religious friends were telling him about? I appreciate it. We don't want our talk to be cheap. We want to act. And as I said in the video, prayer helps me to do that. I need to pray to actually do and be who I say I want to be and what I'd say I want to do. Because the world is messed up, really messed up. I'm glad that Dan had us get started with that, you know, all our trials soon be over, because it feels like there's a lot of trials, not just in the news, but also in our lives. The flood of information about horrible things, though, happening all over the world makes it easy for me to shut down. I don't know if about you, but I confess, it's easy for me to want to shut down. And even the hard things that are happening in the lives of the people I know, they actually threaten to shut me down too. You know, when everyone I know has a problem, because everyone's a human being and lives in this problematic world. When I'm tempted to shut down, prayer keeps my heart soft to the pain that I'm feeling. Prayer gives me the capacity to feel when all I want to do is not feel anymore. Speaking of social media, I asked my friends about this cartoon, what they thought. Take a look at this cartoon. There's a guy drowning and he's saying, "Help!" And then someone on the dock says, "Oh no, that is terrible. My thoughts and prayers are with you." And then the guy in the water says, "But..." And then the guy yells, "Thoughts and prayers," as the man in the water is drowning with his hand up within reach of the man on the dock. I asked my friends on Facebook about this, and one of them said this: "We can all help. We just choose not to, even if it's as simple as donating a stick of deodorant to any group that is sending supplies. We would just rather say our thoughts and prayers go out to them. No, I don't want to donate a dollar to hungry children. Thanks. I think she's right, but I also wish that she wasn't. Because it's so easy to be overwhelmed by the seemingly infinite opportunities to give a dollar. Have you been to the grocery store line and the cashier asks you if you want to donate a dollar to starving children? Like, they actually do that, like, all the time. And it starts to ramp up this time of year. Coming towards Thanksgiving, they're going to ask you for a dollar at every grocery store. How hard is it to say no, right? And how many of us have said no at least once 3 or 4 days, like, before payday? It's like, no, I don't have a dollar right now. That happens. The one that I say no to most often is the Taco Bell scholarship fund. And you don't judge me. You know I love Taco Bell and I go there too often. So I have to say no to the scholarship fund often. Don't judge me for that either. We have to reckon with the brokenness of the world. And one temptation is to just turn off altogether because there's just so much demand. Too much demand inputs, shutting them out. You could decide once and for all, my money, my thoughts, my stick of deodorant, it's just for me. This is a viable strategy for dealing with the brokenness of the world. I look out for me and my own. I survive. It's hard for me out here too. I understand this. I understand that kind of, it is an effective tool to deal with the overwhelming demand. Just as to have a philosophy that you develop that no, me and mine, that's it. That's in the water too. Individualism is part of our culture. And the danger of this is that you could damage your God-given capacity to care at all. Like, if you shut down to the starving children with the dollar, you could also shut down to, like, your spouse and your children. Your heart muscle, you know, it's actually a muscle that pumps blood, but metaphorically, your muscle to care needs to keep being used, or it could be hardened or atrophied. We are relational creatures. God gave us this capacity to care. I don't think that human beings are naturally selfish. That this guy on the dock is doing, you know, survival of the fittest or something like that. I think that we actually have a God-given capacity to care, and we're it's ours to take care of and protect, not to, like, turn on some, like, supernatural power to, like, be super compassionate. I think we have this instinct, but we can be trained to be callous. We can choose not to care because caring hurts, and it does. It does hurt to feel for all those people who lost their loved ones in Las Vegas, or to feel for all our neighbors here who didn't hear from their families for some of them a week or two, didn't know if they were okay down in Puerto Rico. Another temptation to deal with this overwhelming demand in the world is to fake like you care. This is what some politicians are doing, in Johnny's opinion, and this is what the person on the dock in the cartoon is doing. Thoughts and prayers. I care. I'm not going to help you, though. They're saying they care, but they're doing nothing. And the internet has really changed the whole world, right? I mean, that's a basic statement for 2017. We know about everything instantly. We could just run down an infinite line of people, just giving them high fives and saying thoughts and prayers, thoughts and prayers, thoughts and prayers, thoughts and prayers, thoughts and prayers. And we could do that our entire life. We could do it until we fall down dead from exhaustion, just giving thoughts and prayers. I mean, we can't even fathom what a billion is. Can you think about a billion? You know, what is a billion? Or even 7 billion people? The fun fact about how many people, just thinking about a billion, it's actually 7 billion. If you stacked up, and this is obviously impossible, but if you stacked up everyone on top of each other, like standing on top of each other, average height of a human being is like 5.5 feet. You stacked up, I don't know, children kind of ruin that, but let's just say they're all adults. You know, you stack them all up, and they go to the moon and back 3 times. It's a lot. Think about a billion. You know, it's a lot. So even to fake like we care and to give the high five, thoughts and prayers, is too much. It's easy to fake it, but faking is dangerous because it has the same effect as the decision people make to look out just for number one. It hurts our capacity to care because we just put a paper mache heart where there should be a real blood beating heart, and it undermines that God-given capacity for compassion. And this is where Jesus canceling the show comes in to save us again. The crisis of being human in a broken world, it's not our problem to solve. Certainly not our problem to solve alone. We don't have to figure it all out. We don't have to find the right solution to speak the truth or to do something out of love. it's so paralyzing to believe that we actually control the world. And I think that most of us do, at least in part. There's this demand on us to, like Johnny said, I don't know what the policy solution is. I'm not a politician. That's like a, that's a, that undermines his whole argument. If he, I bet one of his trolley friends, and he has those on the internet, would say, there you go, your argument's dead. You know, you don't have a better answer, so shut your mouth, you know? And that we have this, that's actually like a legitimate argument. Like, I can still see that this is wrong. I can still see that automatic rifles killing 58 people in a pop, that's a problem. I don't know how to solve it. I don't know how to deal with the Second Amendment, but this is wrong. And I can say that, and I don't have to know how to fix it. But I can say, let's figure it out. You know, there are people that are like professionals at figuring stuff out. Let's put them on the case and have them actually work towards it, but they're not. Because and then also we can think about what does our action do? What does my, you know, what happens when I give a dollar to the starving person? Am I just perpetuating the system? Am I just paying into a nonprofit NGO system that's corrupt? You know, is it bad that I do that? Am I contributing to the problem? I'm not sure. I can't figure that all out. But since I can't, let's turn it off. Can't do anything. Everything is suspect. I have to do everything right, and so nothing can be done. But Jesus canceled the show. You don't have to do everything right. The idea that you do is the anti-gospel. Jesus came to die. That was his big show. His big play in the universe was to let the powers of sin and death defeat him momentarily, just for a little bit. And he wore them out. Just like we can get worn out by that overwhelming demand, Jesus wore that demand out, and it no longer has any real power on us, though we keep going back to it. It's really tempting to go with the flow and to say, no, I'm gonna have to figure this out. Better do it all or better do nothing. Mother Teresa is famous for encouraging us with that quote, we ourselves feel that what we are doing is just a drop in the ocean, but the ocean would be less because of that missing drop, which has its companion saying, that's just a drop in the bucket. Yep, it's a drop in the bucket. That is what it is. And a drop in the ocean is exactly what it is. A drop is a drop. Who you are is who you are. What you can do is what you can do. And that's a good place to start. Jesus frees us from the demand to do more than we can, to be more than we are, to give more than we have. And we get out from under that demand. If we do, we will find that we have more capacity than we even thought. We have more to give than we even knew. One of my favorite parts of the Bible is in Acts 3. When Peter, Jesus's right-hand guy, and Acts happens after Jesus, you know, goes away, ascends into heaven, and Peter's now trying to build the church, and he's walking around Jerusalem, and he's in the temple, and a man who can't walk asks him for money. And Peter answers to him, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus, Christ of Nazareth, walk. Peter doesn't have what the man thought he needed. He has something else. And let's not jump to the conclusion that we don't have what Peter had either, so, you know, screw that. You know, if I can't make someone walk, it's really not worth it. We might say, because there are many things that we have, and we can give what we have. We can say even to the person who can't walk, who asks us to heal them. Instant healing I do not have, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, join my cell and experience the transformation that I have witnessed there. Give what you have. Or maybe instant healing I do not have, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, tell me your story of how you lost your ability to walk, and I will give you my full attention and give what you have. These are different sorts of miracles today, but they are kind of miracles, especially for someone that's disabled. Imagine them, maybe they live in a assisted living place and there's not a whole lot of stimulation. Maybe their family doesn't have a whole lot of time for them. You know, if you befriend them and listen to them, a lot of power. It's like even close to a miracle. Miraculous things happen when you listen and direct your compassion towards another human being. It actually transforms them. It actually transforms you. I can tell you this from personal experience. And you don't even have to have access to some lonely person in a nursing home. You can have access to the people you know and give them that what you have. Jesus brings us together to give what we have together. So even the little that we have then gets multiplied in our togetherness. Joshua and Rachel were talking about this in the video, our commonality in Christ and even our participation in worldwide movements like the Mennonite Central Committee. We're together in that. And one of the biggest ways that we do this together as a family in Christ is we have compassion teams. Jess and I were actually just talking on Friday about starting a new one to teach kids music and have fun this summer. Maybe we'll do that. But we have all these compassion teams, and there's some slides in the news section later that you can see a few of them. There's a brochure out on the info site that says how to start a compassion team, because you could just do what you can. You could organize one of the things you're passionate about. If you have like an hour a week to do something good, that's probably enough to do a lot of good with the help of Circle of Hope behind you and a team of people that each also have an hour a week to do something good. You know, you could make something. Some of the things that we've made together with our compassion teams are like Joshua was talking about, the circle of peacemakers. Let me unpack that a little bit. Some of our people got arrested at Colosimo's gun shop, and it was this movement called Heeding God's Call. And we would go every week to witness there, stand out in front and say, "These people are selling illegal guns." That's what we said. And all we want is for them not to sell illegal guns. Because what they would do is they would just sell a boatload of guns to one guy, and obviously he was going to go sell them out of his trunk in North Philly. That's called straw purchasing, or you buying a gun on behalf of someone else, and then it could get lost or stolen. You report it lost or stolen, or you don't even have to report it lost or stolen. And then when it gets used in a violent crime, oh, it got lost or stolen. There's no accountability for these people that are doing this. So anyway, we got arrested. It was just such a powerful moment, because then they went to court, the people who got arrested. A few of our people from around the movement, other churches in the area, a few rabbis, they went, and Circle of Hope just like jammed the courtroom. I mean, there were other people involved in this movement from across the Philadelphia region. On this day at like 10 a.m. in the court building, Circle of Hope was like there en masse, like 150 people or something like that. Just like tons of people. We were representing, you know, like it was, you know, 10-1 with the rest of the movement, because we have people that want to come out and do that. And it was just so powerful, because eventually then Colosimo's had to shut down. They couldn't get him with the gun laws. They actually got them on tax stuff, and then they just had to close up shop. But it was a real win, and we got to participate in that through the Circle of Peacemakers. The Circle of Peacemakers is having a peacemaking festival next month on November 10th, Armistice Day Eve, over at 2214 South Broad. Another cool thing kind of showing up this past Tuesday, Friends of Penn Treaty High School is a new compassion team that we have. Brooke Hoffman is a teacher there, and she organized some people in the neighborhood to just love on this school, and they organized a rally where it was just like, we're going to show the administration, we're going to show the news people, if they show up, that people care about this high school in Kensington. They didn't fill up the whole auditorium, that was their goal, but a lot of people came out to celebrate, you know, that we care. You know, a great, great rally for that God-given capacity for caring, is to just get together with a bunch of people there saying, I care, you know. I would have liked to have been there. I couldn't make it. On just yesterday, Saturday, Circle Thrift had a day where all of their profits, 100% of the profits that they made yesterday, went to Puerto Rico relief through the Mennonite Disaster Service. And I didn't get the actual count yet, but on a Saturday, beautiful one like yesterday, in the fall, it was probably maybe close to $10,000. You know, and I don't know how well it went. I'm going to ask Martha, the director, and I'll report to you later about it. If it was $10,000, I think that's kind of high. I'm a real exaggerator. But what if it was? You know, like, I used to work at Circle Thrift, and a good day would get up there, though. Another kind of just basic thing that we do all the time is we build into our budget compassion. So we have this mutuality fund. So all the money that goes into our common fund sharing and our, or like you put it in the box or you can swipe it over there, 10% of it goes to our mutuality fund. So we just put it in a savings account, and then we spend out of that savings account to help people. Recently, I've helped people with an electric bill with the help of their cell leader, a ticket that made a license get suspended for a person who drives for a living. What else did I do recently? Oh, work for people that are underemployed. Some people take care of the building, and we pay them an honest wage, a good wage. Actually, I start at $20 an hour for unskilled labor. I do that in your name, because I just want to give people the opportunity to share and the opportunity to share their gifts, even if they don't have a lot of money. And they actually need money to pay their bills and stuff. So participation in the common fund however you're able to do that, is a way for us to get together. And one really cool thing about the Common Fund that I want to make sure that you understand is it's once it's in there, it's like the electric grid, you know? Like, you could put just a little bit in and someone else is putting a ton of electricity in, but once it's in there, you know, it's all together. So, like, I buy all my energy as wind energy. And I buy as much wind energy as I can and I put it in there. But the actual, like, electrons that come to my house have all kinds of, like, coal and nuclear stuff in it because it's all in a pool in the grid. This is how it works. All right? What are you saying, Tom?
Nothing.
I'm getting the science wrong? I don't think I am. I got this. This is how it works. All right? This is how it works. It's in the grid together, and it comes to my house. And so when whatever you're able to put in, if it's $15 a week or if it's like $800 a month, it's all in there together. So like once you're participating in it, like you get all of the benefits of it. We're doing it together. So what I keep telling people is I just want everyone to participate on a regular basis so that they can have not so we can like turn the lights on, like that's a good reason, but I want your hearts to be guarded for that compassion. I want you to, this is a real practical way to care. You're actually doing what you can so that when they ask you for a dollar at the checkout stand or someone on the street asks you for money, you can say no with confidence because you cannot solve every problem and Jesus saved you from having to. But you can do what you can. And one of the things that we do together is we participate in this common fund and we redeem our whole wallets. I can only give this much and maybe I could do better, but don't judge me. You know, I'm gonna do what I can now and get into it, get into that pool, that grid, and you can say, no, I do what I can. I do what I can. And you could say that with confidence. And maybe your ability will increase over the years as you get better money from your job or you figure out your budget, but it doesn't matter. What I want for you is that participation. I want you to be able to say, for your heart's sake, that you're doing what you can and you are participating in something that affects the whole world in lots of different ways. So in summary, give what you have. No, it's not enough. And that was never asked of you. Jesus is going to have to be enough. And because he is, we can give what we have instead of being paralyzed by the demand to be enough ourselves.
Thanks for listening to Circle of Hope's Sunday Meeting Podcast. If you want to talk about it or get connected to a cell, you can find one under our Connect dropdown at circleofhope.net.